welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to those of you who are on holiday. Just as well you're here, because I think our lot are on holiday too. So. Praise the Lord. Got something for you this morning. Are you ready? Hallelujah. How many of you watched the Eurovision Song Contest? Wow. That is overwhelming. I've got the excuse I was on Street Angels. What was yours? I mean, this is a national treasure, is it not? Or is that Terry Wogan? Anyway. I hope by now you found out how well Josh, who was our candidate, did. He came last. Yeah, wasn't one of our best. Of course, one of our worst was 2003, when apparently we scored absolutely zero. So I guess he did better than that, bless him. But, he came last. Anybody have any idea who won? Germany. It was Lena from Germany with it. I guess that was Elke out there in the... Hallelujah. Yeah, it was Germany with a song called Satellite. And Turkey were in second place and Romania were in third. Therefore, there, you know. Okay? Of course, I guess when you're watching something like that, you know, you start to identify with your country. Maybe you should be identifying more with the World Cup. But of course, if we can talk about the World Cup, we've got to go back to 1966 to think about winning that. So, but when we did win that, you can imagine that all around the country, people had that sense of, we won. We did it. We beat Germany. But we won. We did it. And I guess last night, probably in Germany, unless it was a sample here of the kind of numbers of people watching, but all over Germany, people were saying, we won, we won, we won. Or maybe it's more like, wir haben gewonnen. Wir haben gewonnen. Wir haben gewonnen. You know? We have won! We have won! Of course, they don't have to speak English with a German accent, but... But whether you're the English cheering the English team in the World Cup in 1966, or whether you were Germany last night cheering because Lena has won for you, there's a sense of, you know, you think like, we have won. Wir haben gewonnen. And it's, but the actual reality, of course, is you haven't done anything. Lena won. You know, the English football team won. Those cheering, those shouting, we won. And you do, don't you, when you shout, we've won. England's won. Germany's won. You're excited. But the reality is, you haven't really done anything apart from watch something, you know. And I was thinking about this because I think there's a message there for the church. You know, it's not the words of the song. I did look them up. It's about loving. I mean, I went everywhere for you. I suppose that's quite good. Because you know how sometimes you look at a secular love song and you think, yeah, I could sing that about my passion for Jesus, but I'm not sure this one works. I mean, that's quite a good line. I went everywhere for you. I even did my hair for you, Jesus. I bought new underwear. They're blue. It would be a different kind of praise song. Sure, he's not too bothered about what colour your underwear. And just to emphasise that point, the next line is, and I wore them just the other day. What a romantic thing to do, to buy blue underwear and wear it. It has other such dynamic, memorable lines as, love, my aim is straight and true, Cupid's arrow is just for you. That sounds like something in a Valentine's card, that one. And this is the ultimate line. We must... Claire's not here. Claire and Chris are on holiday. But, you know, I think she should get this in a worship song, really. After that line, love, my aim is straight and true. Cupid's arrow is just for you. I even painted my toenails for you. I did it just the other day. So now you know what to do. If you're looking for someone and you want to show them your great love and appreciation, gentlemen, buy blue underwear and paint your toenails the other day. And that's it. You're on a winner. Hallelujah. Just a bit of fun. Europop. But when Germany won and they were all shouting, "We won, we won, we won" in Germany, there was that sense of identification. But really, Lena had won. It was her. And whether it was because she had a great song or because the Germans have got all the money at the moment, we'll never know. But she won. That was a political joke. These are the educated lot down here. Don't usually do them. But the reality is they just watched. And I think in the church, we've got to be careful when we're feeling, yeah, things are great. Are things great because others are doing something and we're just a spectator? Or are we part of what God's going on? And I think for whether the church you've come from today or whether you're part of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, there's a question over what's happening. It's saying, am I a spectator or am I really part of what's going on? Sometimes people leave a church, obviously not this one, but sometimes people leave a church saying, I don't feel that I belong. Well, there's only one person who can make you belong, and that's you. You know, if you don't feel you belong, you have to do something about it. And you can point the finger at other people, but actually, it's you. It's me. It's not a we. So it's not about being a spectator and watching the world sort of pass by and cheering at the right things. But it's about getting in there, about getting our feet in there. I think it's time, and I guess a lot of us have got this, but, you know, about committing ourselves to this amazing life that God's given us. I don't want a life like all those people around me who are not saved yet. If I'm not different, if I'm not running my life different, what's the point? Is it just some sort of godly Father Christmas that gives me gifts and things and yeah, I might go to heaven sort of thing? Or is it that there's something within me that says, I've got to live my life different. I've got something special. I'm going forwards. And I think across the nation, this nation particularly, there's this kind of a spirit rising up in people saying, I'm committing my life to doing something amazing. A bunch of people who go to sleep at night saying, today I lived well. Now, you might have spent the day with your family, but you can still do it well. It's not about working yourself into the ground. People do that. That's called working for yourself. But when you work for the Lord, it's a different picture. He gives you rest for a start. You enter into the Lord's rest. We're going to come on to that in a little way. But I think there's a sense in the church, in this church, I hope in the church that you're part of, that you've come of, just do something. But also, because it's God, it's just do something amazing. Yeah? Now, last weekend, we had an awesome Strong Tower conference, didn't we? Hallelujah. It was great to have this place absolutely full on Sunday morning, wasn't it? But on a Saturday afternoon, I preached a message called, I can't remember what it was called. I think I called it something like, Stop Praying, or something like that. Stop Praying. As opposed to Friday night, which was Lentil Stew. You can see I like the deeply spiritual titles. But, and don't forget, if you want to get hold of what James said, and a lot of what Dr. James, who was our guest speaker, said was very prophetic for this church and the nation. There were some very significant things he said. Well worth getting into, listening to again, writing down things that God's saying, because you don't want to be a spectator. All right? You want to be in there. You want to be part of it, because that's the way we take hold of the blessing. That's why our life becomes an adventure. That's when life becomes more than just routine, boring stuff. And all the talks from the weekend, you can get them on a USB stick. That's why I'm holding this in my hand. If you haven't seen one of these before, that's what they look like. They even have Kingdom Faith Yorkshire logo on that side and the web address on the back. How cool is that? And all the talks will be on it, so you can copy them on your computer and then you can wipe it and you can use it for whatever you want. Or you can keep them on there. Up to you, really. Hallelujah. But so you might want to, just in case somebody missed some of that or wants to get hold of it, or like me, you want to listen to them again. Okay, we don't put the conference talks up on the internet. We keep them almost like something special, because a conference like Strong Tower is something special. There's always something unique. A lot of people have said how much the Friday night particularly spoke to them as well. The Lentil Stew one. But on Saturday afternoon, which is what I was going to say before I suddenly went on to USB sticks, on Saturday afternoon, I just want to mention that again as well, because it fits in with this Do Something Amazing. Because I spoke on Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant, Take Charge. Okay? You can go and find it in Luke's Gospel for yourself. But all I want is just a quick reminder of that, because it, for me, it sums up an attitude that brings revival. Because it's an attitude that says, God, you are God. Because it says, well done. In other words, done. Do something. Do it well. Do it excellently. And we need the spirit of excellence to grab hold of the church. Sad to say, sometimes it's the business world that grabs hold of a spirit of excellence because they're working for the God of profit. Whereas we need prophets of God who are working for the Lord to see excellence. Amen. We need a prophetic people who are saying, by the way that I live, I want to demonstrate how awesome, how excellent, how brilliant God is. We want people who are working in hotels and holiday camps and engineering firms and schools and whatever place that you find yourself in during the week, who have this attitude of excellence, so that people look and say, what is it that's different about that person? Why are you like you are? Why is it that you work hard even when nobody's looking? Because people notice, even when you think they're not looking, people notice. Oh boy, do they notice. And the spirit of excellence is something that causes people to look. Because it's not generally in the nation. Now, we rise up even above what businesses are doing for profit, because God then puts something inside us. As God changes us and God enables us to bless wherever we are. It's the Joseph principle. He worked for excellence, Joseph in the Old Testament. And because he had an attitude of doing his best, he kept getting promoted. Amen? It works wherever you are. Even if you're still at school, if you work for excellence, what you do gets blessed and you get moved on and you get encouraged and you get better. It just works. Well done. Do something amazing. Do something excellently. Well done. Good. Good. We need a church with the right attitude. I know I preached this on at the Strong Tower Conference, but I think it's really, really key to where we're going. And I obviously said a lot more there. We need to do something amazing with a good attitude. Because actually you can't do anything amazing if you've got I really ought to do this. You know? I suppose I better get on with it. I suppose I better do this thing. Whether it's at work or whether it's in the church, wherever you're doing it, you know, it's do it with a good attitude. Another thing that people notice. Another thing that will open people up to the gospel. Another thing that will lead people to being saved. Well done, good and faithful servant. Whatever God gives us to do, it should always be slightly or even enormously beyond what we can do. Because if we only do what we can do, we're not actually doing what God's given us to do. Because he's always giving us something which is beyond ourselves. We have to be faithful. We have to be full of faith. We have to be that trustworthy servant that says, okay, I trust you, God. I can't do this. This is beyond me. This is too much for me. You know, I can't see how we can do this. When we started making the television programs with J24/7, back in, I think it was 2003 now. Woo. That's why damn so little in them. But there was a sense of God saying, do this. How? How do you do television? You know, it's all right having even just the equipment, but then you say, we have to have scripts. How do you write scripts for a TV program? How do you get people presenting themselves in a way that doesn't look wooden? Welcome to J24/7 TV. It's good to have you here. Yeah, it's not going to work. You had to convey the energy. How do you convey energy? It was all these kind of things. We didn't know what to do, but you have an attitude of, I'm going to do this well. And God comes and blesses it. Which is why, 7 years later, they're still showing them constantly on the God channels. You know, because God grabbed hold of us because he wanted to do something that was of excellence. And that's what we're doing now. With whatever God is doing, whatever God's calling us to do, you want to say, right, how can I do this of excellence? I want to give glory to God in what I do. And God is glorified by people who have the right attitude, who are full of faith, and have well done, good and faithful servant. Greek word being doulos, which actually means slave, but everybody's always afraid to translate it as slave, because nobody wants to think of themselves as a slave. But what is a slave? Someone that has no independent will. They just do what the master says. Who is the slave of all? Jesus himself. Said, I do nothing apart from what I see my Father doing. And we have a tendency to think we're one better than that. We can do a little bit of what we like, as long as we do mostly what God wants. What a radical people that say, I'm a slave of God's. I'll do whatever he says. And if he gives me leisure time, then I'll do leisure time. And if he doesn't, I won't. I mean, praise God, I've always found he does, because we're also his children, and he wants his children to have a good time. But we have to hold these two things in tension, that we're sons of the king. We're kings, and yet we're slaves. But if you want to see how you hold this, look at Jesus. He was a slave, and he was a king. Amen? Well done, good and faithful servant. And finally, I've got to the bit that I didn't really go into in much depth on that day. When it was in the parable of the miners, do you remember? That's where it comes from. And there's 10 of them, I think. You only ever find out what 3 of them did in the parable. But 10 of them all get a miner. And one comes back and says, I've got 10 now. One comes back and says, I've got 5 now. And one comes back and says, I kept it safe for you. Well, we're not going to look at all the individual servants particularly, but to the ones who did 10 and the one who did 5, he says, well done, good and faithful servant, to the one with 10, take charge. Okay? And I think in this day of not being a spectator, we've got to realise that it's not just a case of just being one of the bods in a church or one in the bods in God's team, but actually we are people who take charge. We are people who have this charge. What is it? In Greek it's the word exousia. It's a fantastic word that is used there. Because it actually means I give you the right and I give you the might. Not only have you got the right to do it, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Okay? Because you can have the right or the might to do something, but if you've got no power to sort it out, it's not going to happen. Okay? You might be, let's go back into medieval times, you might be the anointed king of England, but if you didn't have an army to back up your claim, you probably weren't going to be the king of England, because there'd be somebody else out there with what they consider an equally valid claim. They had to take it. If you were king, you had to take it. Well, we're kings. But sometimes we have to take hold of that. But we actually have the power to do that. All right, we're kings in position. We're seated in heavenly places. We have the right to be kings as well as slaves. But no, we also have the might to be able to do it. So it's a great word, the right and the might. But it also means, exousia, it also means you have permission. Andy, God says to you, you have permission to use my authority here on earth to see expressed here on earth what I have already released in heaven. I mean, when you hear these things, it's awesome. And I know we keep getting this from different directions, but what if we actually grabbed hold of this and really believed it? You know? What if we really believe we have exousia? You know? We have an authority to release that actual prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. A people who believe Jesus. What if we were a people who believed Jesus? I know you might be thinking, well, am I? I know, but I think God is just saying, come further. Come up here. Come and see it. Yeah? What if? It also means authority. I've probably covered that. You've got an authority. When I was a head teacher in primary schools, I had an authority. And it was because I was the head teacher. It wasn't just to do with the fact that I was Paul Abel. It was also the fact that I was a head teacher. And so I would walk into a classroom and go, and it would go quiet because I had an authority and they knew I had an authority. That's true. Or I'd walk to another one of my favorite techniques. My oldest son will tell you about it because he was in my class for a year once. If a class was too noisy and wasn't listening, I hated raising my voice. And so we had a system whereby if it was too noisy, I would go to the blackboard, as it was in this class, dating myself a little bit, and I would draw a box on the blackboard. That's all I would do. And usually, the class would go quiet. That would be it. Because they knew the next thing I would draw in it would be a number 5, and that meant we're going to spend an extra 5 minutes of your break time practicing being quiet. And if that didn't work, it would go up to 10 minutes and then 15 minutes. So they didn't want that. And very rarely, once you'd established it, did you need it. You just drew a box. Well, drawing a box does not control children. Tell me about it, says some of the parents. But because I did it with authority, the children took notice. I didn't like to raise my voice. I only once really ever raised my voice very loudly. And it was in a rather extreme situation of an autistic child about to stab an adult in the back with a pair of scissors. And I shouted out extremely loud, let's pretend the name was Julie. That wasn't her name.
Julie, sit down right now. That was all I could think of on the spur of the moment. Sit down. I mean, what a stupid thing to do. A pair of scissors stabbing someone. Sit down. But it worked. She sat down. And because it was an open plan school, 200 children sat down. From the oldest children in year six all the way right down into the reception class. The whole school. I think even some of the adults sat down. I'm not exaggerating. Because it was so unusual for me to speak like that. It was like... Yeah, absolute fear gripped the school. It was quite awful. I had to go down after we'd sorted all this out. And, I mean, this girl, we had there was adults watching her and all sorts of things, you know. And it just shows how something can happen so quickly. Sit down! Dumpf! I had to go down to the infant classes and talk to them. It was okay. I wasn't cross with them. But something had happened up the other end, and it was important. I didn't tell them what. But it was important that they all sat down. Because they were all... What's Mr. Abel go cross for? What have we done? But I was in that school, I was the deputy head. And I had authority, and the children knew it. But, you know, we haven't just got authority over a school. We have authority over... a nation. Yeah. All right? We have authority in the spirit world to take hold of. And if we say in the spirit world, cease! Sit down! How dare you attack my people to the enemy? They sit down. They know who's got authority. But actually, you don't even have to do that. It's sometimes good to do that because you can get a bit of behind it. But you know, actually, you could just say, be gone. That's it. It's not how loud we are. I don't talk about speaking to the enemy very much and taking control of the enemy. I think we can get very sidetracked into that whole spiritual warfare. We don't really have to do spiritual warfare because we've already got a victory. You know, we just establish a victory. We just take hold of a victory. And I think you've got various principles like Joshua's army smashing their clay jars. They didn't fight for the victory because the Lord had already given, not Joshua, Gideon. I'm very worried about my Bible knowledge. I was doing street angels last night, okay? Smashed the jar, and the enemy killed one another in fright. They just did what God had given them. Joshua was a very similar situation, another foolish situation, marched around the city. You know, what's that? But it worked because it's what God had given them. And sometimes we just need to do what God said rather than trying to take on the enemy directly. Because we're not trying to war against them. We already have a victory. Yeah. Amen. This is this take charge, exousia. Oh, that the church in our nation would rise up with authority. We do have the authority to say in a town, this is what God says. Yeah. This is what the correct way is. The world doesn't like it. It seems arrogant. It seems like you don't like people if you stand against them. I don't mind if you've got a completely alternative lifestyle. That's not my business. But it is my business to say this is what I believe God is saying. You know, if you want to get into drugs, you are free to get into drugs. But I believe God is saying that's going to ruin your life. You know, if you want to get into a homosexual relationship, that's up to you. You have that freedom. It says that God has given that over to you. You can do it. It's free. But I want the freedom to be able to say, well, I don't agree with that lifestyle. You know, I think that's an important foundation stone in our nation. That's part of being in a democratic country, that people do have the freedom to choose. And it's right, because God gives the freedom to choose. But he says that there are consequences if you don't follow the manual. If you never have your car serviced, either by a garage or by yourself, in other words, if you never use the manual to keep the car running, at some point it's going to crash. Not literally, boom, although maybe if your brakes go or something. It's the same if we don't use the manual God has given us. If we decide, no, I don't like that. I don't like changing the tyres. I'm not going to bother. It costs money. I'm just going to go for it. Well, at some point, one of those tires is going to blow. And you're going to find the results of using your own wisdom. We have authority. We have, and I like this one, this word exousia means you have liberty. You say, well, how does liberty go with it? Well, it's just what I'm telling you. You have the freedom to choose.
Exousia means you have the freedom to use your authority or not. You have the power to do something amazing. And let me just run through some of this. I like this. I looked this up now in the Concordance. And it said you've got the power of doing or not doing. It's like you've been given a license. If you want to open a nightclub in this town, you've got to be given authority. You've got to be given a license to do it. Otherwise, they'll come back round pretty quick and shut you down. You've got to have the authority. If you want to, actually not in Scarborough, but in most towns, if you want to trade goods on the streets, you've got to have a license that says you've got the authority. Well, Christ has given us a license to establish heaven on earth. There's no one else doing it. Even he's not doing it because he chooses to do it through us. We've been given the power of doing or not doing. We can use this license or we can put it in our pocket and watch telly. It's a free choice. We also have the power entrusted to us as a commissioning. It's like when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, there's a commissioning. It's a go into the world and make disciples. We've all been commissioned. We've all been given authority to work out the commission. We've all been given the right to use authority. And we've been given the full power to manifest that authority. And then power also means we have power over persons and things in exousia. We have dominion. We have dominion over our towns and cities. We can take authority over them. We're like the gatekeepers in Nehemiah's Jerusalem. We have the authority to let in and to throw out. You know, and so often as a church, you hear, this is why Christians should never complain. Because if you're complaining, you're saying something is wrong. Well, if something is wrong, it's your fault. It's not the world's fault. The world is always going to be the world. If the standard of the world is sinking morality, it's the Christians' fault. When the hustings were going on before the election, one of the church leaders asked one of the politicians to do with the standards of morality. And he said, what are you going to do about the standards of morality in our nation? And I understand why he was asking it. He wanted to know. But there was a bit of me that wanted to stand up and say, it's not his job. He's a politician. It's your job. You're one of the gatekeepers. You're one of the church leaders. It's our job to clearly proclaim the way that Christ has called us to be. And what's more, we have the authority from heaven to do that. Now, we don't have to be surprised if the world says you don't have the authority because they don't usually recognize his authority. But that doesn't make any difference. We've still got it. Yeah? Are you getting something out of this morning? You've got to be a little bit loud and affirming because, as I said, I was on Street Angels. So then I had to get up and do and prepare a message. So it was a bit like, oh. dribble, dribble. You know, I was going to seek the Lord. Oops, 15 minutes gone past. Hallelujah. If there wasn't two other people still asleep in the house, I'd have probably needed to put on some loud music. Stir me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But then as I sought the Lord, I said, God, you've got to give me something this morning. He brought me back to this. This is leading up to Isaiah 62. Do you know, I don't know if you remember James saying, this is going to be important for you the next 3 years. And you sort of think, 3 years? That's worse than Nehemiah. I've been preaching from Nehemiah for the past year, for those of you who visited today. I've mentioned it already today. No. Anyway, we've got the right, we've got the might, we've got the exousia.
Yeah.
And we've got to just sit up and think, yes, I've got the exousia. It's not humility to go around with our head bowed, being ever so humble. It's actually humility just to accept what God says about us. When we walk our town, it belongs to us. I will give you everywhere you put your feet. When we walk around our town or our city, we can have our head up. Not with an arrogant pride, but with a sense of, I have authority here in this town. I have authority to pray and release heaven in this town. You know, I firmly believe it's one of the reasons that the street crime and antisocial behaviour figures have so a demonstrable drop here in Scarborough since the street angels went out. It's not just, as the world believes, that street angels are there, although obviously that's a big factor in it. It's because the Lord gives us
what
we patrol. You know, and two nights a week, there's actually Christians going round the street saying, this town belongs to Jesus. This town belongs to the Lord. I will not allow that to happen in our town. We will not allow, you know, violent behavior in our town. We take authority over antisocial behavior. We are not permitting it to happen in our town. And we can come against sicknesses and diseases and illnesses in the same way. I've been talking with the leaders in our town. Are we yet in a position of faith where we can declare Scarborough a cancer-free zone?
Hallelujah.
Why not?
Yeah, right.
It's not in heaven. So what's it doing here? But you need to know that you can stand together, that you've actually, you know, you can have a hope that it's that, or you can think, yeah, we are the gatekeepers. Why should we let that in?
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Why should we let it's got in? It's around, but hang on, let's start taking some authority here. Yeah? And then we can take it against other illnesses and diseases because the Lord has given us this land.
Yeah.
What if we believed it?
Yeah.
You know? I believe Scarborough's mine because it's the Lord's and I'm under his authority. That's the thing that the slave knew. He could. The slaves had. Go back to ancient Rome, for example. Slaves in ancient Rome could have incredible power. They could have authority to conduct the master's business. So they could go in amongst free men and give orders and instructions because they were under authority. Amen? All right. So how do we go about this? If you've got a Bible with you this morning, you can jump to Hebrews chapter 4. Some of you are thinking, oh good, I'm glad he's got round to the Bible instead of Eurovision. Are you there? Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Important way to live your life. Don't live it according to what you do, live it according to what God gives you, and you enter into his rest. What is the rest of God? It is doing God's work. All right, it's not sitting around just la 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 la. God's rest is being given the strength and the inner peace in the midst of doing what he's given you to do. Whether that's working really hard or sitting down and having a rest. Therefore, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. How do you fall short of God's rest? You try and do it yourself. As soon as you start to do it yourself, you're taking yourself out of God's rest. And that's when people start to get more and more burnt out and tired and everything else. It's very easy to do. Great men of God do it very easily because you want to give and give and give. You see ministers crash. And it's not because they're, you know, some great big sinful person. It's just at times they've stepped out of the rest. For we have also had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message, and he goes into now people who've taken themselves right out of God's rest. The message they heard was of no value to them because they did not combine it with faith. The message that you're hearing this morning is of no use to you whatsoever unless you decide to believe it. It will just tickle your ears or annoy you or something like that. But if you take hold of it by faith and say, I see that's what God's saying, and if God said that, then that's true. Therefore, any experience of mine that is against that is negated. It's just that I need to see the truth happen. You know? I know the truth. The truth will set me free from what I've been living in then. Maybe you've not known authority. Maybe you've not seen God do stuff when you pray. But if you step into that this morning and say, actually, I see I've got authority. I can, like Paul Abel, shout and the whole school sit down. Don't try that. You know, don't just walk into your local primary school and shout, sit down, because you'll probably be carted out quite quickly if you can get in with all the security they have these days. You know, you haven't got the authority to do that. How do we enter? Let's go down to verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who's gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We don't have a high priest. We don't have somebody in charge who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. I love that. He understands that we struggle. He understands that when someone says, you've got this exousia, that we have trouble getting our minds all around it. It's okay. He knows what it's like to be weak. He struggled in the garden to take hold of what the Father was telling him to do. He did not want, in his own natural self, to go to the cross. He knew what was going to happen. He'd read Isaiah. He knew it was going to be horrendous. But he found the strength by entering into the rest of God to go through with it. By being crucified, Jesus was at rest. This is where we have to get our heads around what rest is and rest isn't. Hanging on a cross, being beaten by the Romans, having a crown of thorns on his head, he was at rest. That's why even on the cross, he could look down and ask John to take care of his mother and give his mother a sort of responsibility for John. It was because he was at rest. Incredible, unbelievable, except that he did it. And I'm going to choose to believe it because it's there in the scripture. So let's hold firmly because we have a high priest who understands what it's like to be weak. We have been, we've got what it says, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. He knows how strong temptation is. You know the times you fail because you've given in to temptation. He does know what it's like. The only difference is, he never gave in. Why did he never give in? Because he was at rest. He was at peace, which gave him an inner strength. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Why? So we receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Whatever we need to bring the authority, no matter how weak we feel, no matter how small we feel, no matter how much we know we cannot do what God has given us to do, if we enter into God's rest and approach the throne, we will have everything we need. All the mercy that you need for all the failures and all the grace that you need to enable you to do it. All the favor. Okay? And from that, let's go to Isaiah 62. But it's important that we enter into Isaiah 62 knowing that we have authority, exousia, and we are in God's rest. All right? Oops. Don't panic. We're not going through all of Isaiah 62 this morning. We're going through all the rest of the book now. Now, this is a promise made to Zion, which simply means God's people. It's a promise outstanding still to the Jewish people, but we have been grafted in. And now we see this scriptures being fulfilled in a new covenant. For Zion, but this, there is a resolution coming here. You can look at this so many different ways, and often scripture's written like that on purpose. Because it says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. Who? Who's not going to keep silent? Who's the I? It could be you, it could be God. Is it God saying, I won't keep silent? Yes. Is it you saying, I won't keep silent? Yes. It's both. God's saying none of us will keep silent. In God's rest, using our exousia, we will not keep silent. I like the King James Version. It says, I will not hold my peace. I will not be shut up. It says, if you look at the word, it means I won't be calmed. I won't be hushed. I'm going to be like blind Bartimaeus at the side of the road. I'm going to keep on going and I'm going to keep on going. Even if my own friends tell me to shut up and be quiet, I'm going to keep saying, Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is awesome. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the cure. I will not be hushed. Amen? And church, we've got to rise up and say, I, not just watching what's going on, not just thinking, oh, that's great, Tony's a street angel, she's well cool when she's out on the streets. No, it's thinking, what am I going to be doing in this? You know, sometimes you get the old management course adage, you know, there's no I in team. Yes, there flipping well is. It's every single I taking their place in the team, otherwise a team's useless. The team's got to stand together. All right. There's me in team, it's just backwards. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. I will not hold my peace. I will not be hushed. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And an inner determination comes up. I'm going to do something about that. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. A double line emphasis. God's not going to keep it quiet, and we're not going to keep it quiet. In every generation, people will know the message of the gospel, no matter how popular or unpopular it is. Sometimes it's popular, sometimes it's against the entire culture of the region. It doesn't matter. I will not keep quiet. I will not be hushed. I will not be shut up. There's a resolution coming in that says, I'm not just going to be part of a team that says that. I'm going to be me that says that. I'm going to be the I in the team. Hallelujah. So it sort of becomes T-I-M. Ah, why won't you do it? I won't remain quiet. I won't take rest. That's interesting, considering what we've just been saying. I won't rest. In other words, I'm going to get into God's rest. I'm not going to just switch off. All right? Ooh. Till her righteousness, till her just cause is another version of saying that. I'm not going to rest till the just cause of the church, which is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all mankind, has happened. I will not, her righteousness shines out, till her righteousness shines out, her just cause shines out like the dawn. That's good, isn't it? I actually like this translation the best of all the others. Others sort of say till it blazes like a torch, but I like the picture. If you look at the actual Hebrew, it's talking about the dawn rising, the dawn coming up, the sun, that going from complete darkness, and of course it happens much more quickly in Israel than it does in Britain, where it can take several hours to tell the difference between night and dark, depending on how misty it is. But In Israel, because it's nearer the equator, it changes quite quickly. It will go from complete darkness till suddenly there's a blaze of light in the sky, and very quickly thereafter you're coming into daytime. Suddenly, like the dawn. This day, this age in our church is a time when the church is rising up like the sun coming up over the sea, and the night is being turned into day. Although it is very dark, the church is rising up. And what looks like nighttime is turning into daytime. But it comes as a people said, I will not shut up. I will not be quiet. Hallelujah. Now, I don't literally mean you go into Boots and shout at the cashier on the till, I will not be quiet. Because that'll probably get you carted away a bit, like if you tried the primary school escapade earlier. Okay, don't recommend that. But it's talking really, I think, about in the spirit, I will not shut up. Because the enemy tries to shut you up. It's the Nehemiah-Sambalat syndrome. It's Sambalat, Gershom, and Tobiah who try to intimidate you, try to put fear on you, to get you to shut up, especially to stop you praying. Yeah. You know, because even those prayers of desperation, even those prayers that feel like you've got no faith in them, even those prayers that just feel like a vague hope, have got power because you've got authority. Amen. You might just feel like you're just writing a box on the blackboard, but still the enemy's going, uh-oh. Uh-oh. She's taking authority here. I will not remain quiet till the righteousness of the church, till the just cause, literally, of the church shines out like the dawn, and her salvation is like a blazing torch. That's the blazing torch bit. Hallelujah. Do you know what her salvation, do you know what the Hebrew word for salvation is there? Yeshua. That's the word that's used there. Till, so if you put it in there literally, I will not keep quiet until her, that's the church, Yeshua, is like a blazing torch. I will not keep quiet until Jesus is blazing in my nation. I will not keep quiet until the risen Son is risen. Amen. In my nation, until people clearly see that the light has come. It's not time just to cheer on the church where they're doing a good job. Yippee! Hillsongs are doing a great job in London. Oh, awesome! But what am I doing in Scarborough or Driffield or wherever you're from today? You know, what am I doing? What's my part? How am I entering into God's rest? How am I being part of the team? I don't just want to be singing about putting blue underwear on. I want to be fully part of it. Hallelujah. The salvation, yes. So and the literal meanings of Yeshua are it's till our help is here, or till prosperity. Yes, it is actually there. That is one of the meanings of those words. Don't get nervous and twitchy. You know, it's prosperity gospel. But God wants to prosper you so you can be a blessing. God's got to prosper this church so that we can be a blessing. Amen. We've got to be prospered to take hold of a new building that God has given to us. Hallelujah. We need to be prospered in everything we do. Yes, we need to be prospered in miracles. We need to be prospered in healing. But we need to be prospered in financially as well. Hallelujah. God gave us an awesome beginning in the offerings, building offerings we took up in March. But it's just a beginning of where we're going. It's just a beginning of His release. Amen. I suppose while I'm talking about buildings, I won't be distracted for long because we're coming to the end. But while we're talking about buildings, just to keep you in the picture of where God's taking us, it looks like the way that's opening up and amongst the different places we looked at is we're actually going for the building that's behind Comet. So if you want to try and march around that building, you can actually march around the whole building. If you march around the whole building, it will include Comet. But that's good because they're due to move out at some time in the future, so we'll have the whole building. We won't mind. Hallelujah. So God's opening that one up to us, okay? The DHSS building, I think one of the things that building did was it raised our heads. You know, especially that Sunday we went down there and thought, God is doing something awesome here. We couldn't really do that at Comet because it's too dangerous. There's bits everywhere. You know, there's wires dangling and holes in the floor. But apart from that, it's great. Oh, and the roofs. Yeah, but we won't go there. And there's some other things. But no, it's an awesome space. And you can, when you stand in that building, you think, I can see Kingdom Faith Yorkshire here. It's got what we need. We'll have an awesome sanctuary upstairs, and we'll have room downstairs to do stuff with cafes and children's work and stuff like that. So we're moving forward. We've had architects around. And people like that. Mike Close has been an amazing assistant. It's like God has placed him in the right place at this time just to enable it to happen. Because it's easy for him. He knows the people to ask. It's great. Awesome. You know, but there's other people sort of just being in the right place at the right time and the right workmen. As we, you know, get a lot of stuff we'll have to pay to have done because of being done to building regulations. And then other stuff we'll be able to go in and do ourselves. It'll be a whole mixture. Okay, so if you want to take authority this week, Exousia, this week we'll be giving our first offer. Well, it's gone, but the ladies, we've got a little message but saying in the email, I'm out of the office till Tuesday. So, but the offer has gone in, so, and we want to go for a substantial period of free rent because of the work that needs to be done. So really, if you want to take authority, we'll be standing together wherever we are this week. If you're visitors here, please stand with us, particularly this week, that we would see this building given into our hands. Amen? It's a great building for what we need to do next. Anyway, back to Yeshua. That was the prosperity bit. It also means salvation, you'll be relieved to know, as that's how it's translated. And it also means like a security and a victory. I will not keep quiet until I see my victory established. I've got a victory in Jesus. He's won the victory for me, and I'm not stopping till I see it. You know, if you're not well this morning, you know, I will not rest until that victory is established in my life. It's not right for me to be sick. There is no sickness in heaven. And Jesus said, take authority. Whatever has already been done in heaven, let it be done on the earth. Why do we keep repeating that? Because we're all going to get a revelation of that this is the truth, rather than just knowing about it. And that will be when revival just goes boom, because you've suddenly got a whole bunch of people are saying, yeah, I've got authority to release heaven, and I'm going to do it. And I will not rest. I will not keep quiet. I will not be hushed up. I will not be calmed. I am going to see God's victory established here, because that's what he's called me to do. He hasn't called me to be a simple, wimpy, lettuce leaf, weak, wet, whatever. Yeah? He hasn't called me to be some simpering, nice person. He's called me to be a person of love. He's called me to be a person of peace. He's called me to be a person who has joy that makes a difference wherever they go. They take peace. They take joy. They take whatever it is. They go and do something. Life is short. Death is certain. Sin is a curse. But Jesus is the answer. Amen. So let's commit ourselves to doing something amazing. Hallelujah. It's not time just to cheer on the team. It's time to see where I take my place in the team. Amen.
Yes.
Brian does need more street angels. That's not for everybody. Some people start to get paranoid and think they've all got to be street angels. You haven't. But don't just say, I can't do it because. Just do it. Don't do it because God's told you. You don't need to do it. And do it because God has told you to do it. You know, some people say, I'm getting too old. Well, the oldest street angel, she's 79. Hallelujah. And she's doing an awesome job. And the youngest street angel, well, she's at Bible college at the moment, but she was 18. Hallelujah. So that's a pretty big spread. If you're under 18, you're okay, you're let off. But, you know, if you want to come back in about 6 years, there's a place for you. Hallelujah. Then God is leading us to get youth angels up and running. And there'll be people sitting here, you want to be part of that. If you want to be part of that, talk to me. We'll be getting the training in place for that, and we'll be releasing that. Then there's the whole team that Claire's trying to draw together for the rainbow money, how to handle your money correctly and the debt advice and getting people out of debt, a valuable outreach to the town. Interestingly, all those three things I've just mentioned are all things where we're leading it, but it's the churches together doing it. Yeah. All right? There's only one church in this town.
That's right.
We did talk the other day, I was saying to the leaders, really, we shouldn't be churches together in Scarborough. We should be church together in Scarborough. Amen? All those who believe in Jesus, we're one church. We don't all do the same things. We don't all agree on the same things, but we have been placed in one family. Hallelujah. And if you really are a church that says, I can't do it with them because they've got that wrong, you're saying we've got nothing wrong. And if you think you've got nothing wrong, well, it's nice to think we've got nothing wrong. But the reality is we'll all have something wrong. If we've got it all right, then we can stop all preaching and all services and everything else and just get on. We're perfect. But, you know, it's also things like the host team here in church, being part of the host team here in the church. It's making the tea and coffee. It's workers with the children. You know, it's all these things. It's being part of the trailer team that takes all the equipment in and out for every service, who are desperately praying for the building more than the others. Hallelujah. I'm going to come to an end here. All right. Right, let me just read you that first verse in Isaiah 62 again. But what an exciting verse. If this is the chapter that the prophet has said is for your church for the next 3 years, or significant for your church over the next 3 years, what is the fundamental message at the beginning of the chapter? For Zion's sake, or for the purpose of Zion, I will not keep silent. I will not be calmed. I will not be hushed. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. I will not just rest until her righteousness, till her just cause shines out like the dawn, and her salvation, her prosperity, her security, her victory is like a blazing torch in my nation. Amen. Now you know what we're doing. And you can't have a sleep. And you can't just be part of the team. You've got to be the eye that's in team. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's have the worship team up. Hallelujah. We're coming to an end. If you're a visitor and wondering how much longer have I got, or if you're a member of the congregation and wondering how much longer you got, hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.